Well, very good morning to you. Hi, I'm Kermit Poling, General Manager here at Red River Radio, and time for another Spotlight. And this one's a lot of fun because, among other things, it involves live music, which is always great. It involves kind of a festival atmosphere. It involves young people. What it really involves is the Music Preparatory Division at Stephen F. Austin State University, which is celebrating 40 years. We're going to have to talk about that a little bit with my guests this morning. Joining via Zoom, we've got Shirley Watterson, who's the founder of the Music Prep Division, I guess, at SFA, and Mario O'Hara, who's been on many times on the station, along with his, well, I was going to say your son, but your daughter as well, Olivia, and Alba Madrid, wonderful violinist and teacher and colleague. So welcome to all three of you.
Hi. Thank you, Kermit.
It's great to have you here. So let's just start with the history of this, because it's amazing, 40 years that you've been, well, teaching young people. Maybe, I think a lot of people don't necessarily know what a music preparatory division is. So Shirley, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
All right. I guess I could call it a community school, but under the umbrella of Stephen F. Austin. And Dr. Robert Blocker was the chair of the music department at that time. And there just weren't enough piano teachers in town. The city was growing, the university was growing, and there were a few private teachers, and that was it. And so we talked about the possibility of, you know, why not start something here at the school? And so I started small. We only had a couple of piano teachers. We had a violin teacher. I taught the musicianship classes. I was the director, so I hired and did the budget and did the payroll and did the teaching. And I was also teaching full time at that time and had a couple kids at home. So it was a busy time, but it grew very quickly. And the most wonderful thing was Linda Parr came on a couple of years later. And when she got there, I quickly got her convinced to be my co-director, which was a big help. And she just took the reins and ran with it. I really had hoped to have not only piano teaching and the musicianship classes, which I taught in our class piano lab. I was a class piano coordinator, but also to add more courses. So guitar, the violin, viola, eventually we had cello. We had a wonderful chorus that Linda managed to get a hold of Nancy Robertson, and she built that chorus to 200 people in different choirs that she had. And she took them to, I went to a National Guild of Community Schools of the Arts conference and learned a lot and came home so inspired, which I shared with Linda. And from there, we did become a member. And through the guild, had the chorus performed in Washington, D.C. and in Baltimore. And we were able to expose our kids to even more things. And of course, our number of teachers grew. And as it went along, and now this is 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and Linda Parr would be the one that really could give us a rundown of what happened through the years. At one point, I changed labs in my class, piano lab, and I took the old Wurlitzer pianos and asked if I could put them in the different elementary schools. I put four of those in each of the elementary schools, and my piano ped students taught, and I supervised. And we took the at-risk kids who were talented. You know, we targeted a third grade students who showed a proclivity towards musicianship and the love of music. And they were the ones who came once a week. We provided the music, we provided the teacher, and we just helped them find some place where they could practice. Usually they went to their local church or something. And we only did it for a year. We had a grant for a year. And we did it hoping that these children, some of them, would end up coming to prep on scholarship and continuing their music, their learning, and their piano skills. And some of them did, and that was very, very heartwarming. But it didn't go over terribly well with the teachers because they didn't like the kids being pulled out for this. And so after the 1 year, that was it, you know. But anyway, I'm very proud of what's happened ever since then. I mean, Alba can tell you what's happening now. I just gave you a quick rundown. Becoming a part of the National Guild of Community Schools of the Arts was a big plus for us. We were the, I believe we were the first school in Texas, that became a member of that organization. So it was pretty exciting.
And it sounds very...
Oh, I can give you as far as the beginning of it.
Yeah, so. But it sounds incredibly comprehensive, because I think those of us who are familiar with a lot of prep divisions at colleges and, you know, my old conservatory, like I taught in their prep division 8 million mm-hmm. years ago. But it was never anything that tried to be as comprehensive. And in fact, the only place, at least in my personal experience, that seems to have that whole thing about also other aspects, not just playing your instrument, but the other aspects of musical training and all that I can think of off the top of my head was the conservatory in Puerto Rico, but which was really comprehensive, and those kids could solfege a whole lot better than I could. But it's really terrific that it's more than just going for lessons, and that it's kind of a much more comprehensive. So Alba, since Shirley sent it to you, and of course you're a violinist, the sole you know, violinist out of you three here. It's pianists against violinists this morning, but why don't you talk about, I mean, how many kids are in the prep division at this point, and what are they playing?
So I took over the preparatory division about a year ago, and then it has been quite a ride, because the second semester that I took over, of course, we all had to quarantine. The country was locked up. And so we were, and the university was doing a lot of cuts, and our program was in line to be the next program to be cut. And so Dr. O'Hara and I, we worked really hard to expose the children and to keep the children going, keep taking lessons, do virtual lessons, do virtual recitals, but we were not going to stop. So actually, we probably just took 1 week to figure out how we were going to keep going through COVID. But we kept going with instruction. And then, at the end of that spring semester, we did a virtual recital, which was really successful. We had like 3,000 views of all of our students performing online. And then from that point on, our numbers have been growing. So we went from 110 students. Now we have close to 170 students. And it's quite amazing that we have grown in a COVID year. And so we had a total of 3 or 4 virtual recitals. And then the youth orchestra has grown also. Now it's a youth symphony orchestra. And we made a professional recording using the university facilities. But, virtual recitals are not the same. We performers, we need that feedback, immediate feedback from our audience. And also our parents were missing that and seeing their children perform live. So we thought what a perfect opportunity is our 40th anniversary. And we can do things. It's spring, the weather is nice. We can do a festival where the students can perform for our community. In their community can see, we have extremely talented students, as you know, and then this will be a perfect way to celebrate 40 years and in a perfect way to come out of virtual recitals and really play for the audience, a live audience, and for the community.
Yeah, that's incredible. And of course, that's going to be Saturday, which is the 1st of May. And it's kind of an all day event from the way it looks.
It is an old Davin.
Mm-hmm. Which is very cool. So Mario, I have to ask you, and of course, I've known you and your family for a long time, but so you're suddenly thrown into this virtual world. How do you teach piano virtually?
it was definitely a challenge here, but a lot of the parents were really on board of, we're stuck in our homes during this time of COVID. We need some kind of emotional outlet in which we need to express our humanity, and what better way? So I had only really familiarized myself with the Zoom platform probably about a year and a half ago, and I wasn't really too thrilled with it, but they had really made some technological strides in making it much more user-friendly and also optimize it for trying to broadcast musical performances or even just within the lessons with to kind of capture the performances relatively faithfully to what we have here. So a lot of the parents were really on board with, like, well, there's just these little settings that you have to do in which you can make some significant improvements in the audio quality, where it can be basically the next best thing to being in the same room with with the student.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a challenge, and don't feel bad about not knowing Zoom all of that well. Everybody on the planet seems to have learned it kind of at the last minute, including here. I mean, a little over a year ago, I don't think any of us would have thought of doing all of these spotlights, interviews, and including, you know, at NPR, everybody's, you know, communicating and going on, like for Morning Edition and All Things Considered and all of that. They're doing that remotely from their home. So it's kind of been a challenge for everybody just about every business, unless you were already using it for something. So let's talk about the specifics for Saturday. It's scheduled from 9 to 6, and it sounds like it's a whole lot more than just live music, like an entire festival. I don't know which one of you want to tackle that.
Yes, yeah, so Carmen, we have many local businesses are supporting this event, and then we'll have local vendors, we'll have food trucks here, and it will really turn out into a big celebration. Many of our sponsors, you know, we have Rex Perry Autoplex, and we have ETEG and Commercial Bank of Texas. They're all supporting this event, and then really what they want to see is just it's all a celebration, celebrate the students in coming out of this pandemic, you know, successfully, and now they're going to show the community how their ability to perform beautiful music. And also, we would like to use this as an opportunity to show the community all of our wonderful programs. We have a Kinder music program that Shirley actually started it back when she first founded the preparatory division. And now we're bringing it back. And Kinder music, what it is music classes from 3 months old all the way to 3 and 4 year olds. You know, it's a very good transition into playing an instrument because the students are familiar with rhythm and familiar with steady beat, and so it's we're very happy to bring Kinder music back. Yes, and then we also have, of course, all our private lessons. But the main two projects that we're very excited about, we have a string project, and what the strings project is kind of the same idea that Shirley had of bringing music to the community and bringing music to students that necessarily are able and capable of paying for a private lesson. And then it also gives a training ground to our university music educators, our university students. So these classes are taught at the university by one of our university students. And we're bringing all third and fourth graders from the public schools, and they're learning to play violin, cello, viola, and for a very, very low tuition cost. And so and right now we started that program last semester, and we have already 30 students involved in the program. So we want the community to know that this is available to them. And also we have another exciting project that's called the Waterston Piano Lab. We're naming our new piano lab after Shirley Waterston. We're turning one of our spaces. We have a garage that hasn't been used. And so we're going to turn that space into a piano lab. And the idea, and Mario can tell you a little bit more about this, but the idea is also to create a training ground for our future music educators. And at the same time, let the community come and enjoy, you know, the process of making music with a big tuition cost. It will be quite available. So Mario, would you like to tell us more about it?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm really excited as far as the Shirley Waterston Piano Lab project on the possibilities of where we could extend our offerings beyond just the traditional piano lessons. But I envision maybe these what I like to consider recreational music making classes, where maybe they're not we have students of all ages and all levels, regardless of what their aspirations, that maybe they don't want to be a concert pianist down the road, but they just want to have some positive music making experience in a nice social environment where they can get together with other people their age, where I'm talking about not just young children, but teenagers, adults, retirees as well, that they can kind of get together and have some of this wonderful music making experience and discover for themselves that they themselves can be musical. They don't have to just kind of sit back and see all the pros do it, but they themselves have it, this innate musicianship inside of them that they can bring out to them as well. And that's what I'm hoping to offer through these group piano classes here through the Shirley Washington Piano Lab.
Years ago, I offered a course called Everything You Need to Know About Piano in 24 Hours. And it was a 12-week class piano for adults. It was twice a week for 2 hours for 12 weeks. And I had adults in there from early 20-year-olds, 21, 22-year-olds, to one lady who was 80 years old who used to play piano and wanted to be able to play her hymns again. And I want to tell you, except that I was teaching full-time and I was doing a million other things, but it was such an enjoyable time. They were all learning things together, and yet I was also individualizing, because some had never had piano, and then there were some who had piano many years ago. But it was a wonderful thing, and I just couldn't continue it after 1 year. But Ping Ting Lan, one of our teachers here, picked it up a few years ago, and she's been teaching class piano for adults. And this is something else that, you know, goes along with what Mario is hoping,
yes, new word.
With this new piano lab. And it's very exciting to have a recreational piano for kids who don't want to be concert pianists but want to be able to play for themselves, for their friends, etc.
Sure.
I'm really excited.
That's the thing. You know, you don't have to take music lessons because you want to, you know, eventually become a professional. Just do it because you love it. And I think that that this opportunity on Saturday, I mean, obviously there are going to be kids playing, students playing and all of that. But there's more. It's seems to me that this is geared towards being an opportunity for people to come in and just learn about it and see how others are enjoying it and maybe be inspired to maybe do something yourself. So we're going to mention the facts again, as long as I have the sheet in front of me. So this takes place on Saturday. It's from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Now, this is at Music Prep House. Is that actually on the university? I don't know where that is.
Yeah, so the Music Preparatory House is on Ragged Street. It's right next to the Native Plant Center. People are very familiar with Tucker Woods, which is a beautiful area. Right, we're okay. Next to Tucker Woods. So we have a lot of space, a lot of green grounds around our house. And also, so we're going to use all of this. And so parking will be at the Early Childhood Center, the SFA Early Childhood Center. And then people will be brought in, shuttled in to our grounds.
Great.
But, we'll have our piano students perform. We'll have our violinist and cello and viola. The youth orchestra is also performing. The symphony orchestra is also performing, which will be quite an amazing opportunity to see an ensemble, ensemble perform.
Mario, are you playing? Aren't you and Linda doing something, or is it just your students?
I think it's just our students, it was funny because both of my kids, who of course play piano, Neo actually, he wasn't originally able to play at the scheduled date here because one of the benefits I think that comes from music instruction is how it kind of teaches students or young students the discipline in to excel in other areas here, and he's done really well in his academics, and he was actually scheduled to participate in the state round of the UIL academic competitions in number sense was the category that he had qualified for the state round, and normally they go to Austin Austin, Texas, to compete at the state round. But since it's to take some precautions due to COVID, he's actually able to participate in the number sense competition here at SFA in Nacogdoches in the morning. And then he's just going to run right over to the to the prep house. And then I think we have him slated to play with a chamber group. He's playing like the Mendelssohn Trio with a couple college students, a Mendelssohn Piano Trio around noontime. And then he's going to play some solo performances along with also Olivia and both my students and Linda Parr's students in the early evening, kind of to finish off the festival, I think at the 5 o'clock hour of the festival. So it's been really exciting for us, and we're just happy that he was able to be part of, both kids to be part of this event this upcoming Saturday.
Well, it sounds like an incredible day, and you're also going to have food vendors. I'm seeing all of this on here, children's games. So it's a really family-oriented event. And again, it's Saturday. I can't believe we're in May already. It's kind of, shocking. But this Saturday, 9 until 6, again, at the preparatory house at SFA there. Well, as you were saying, it's next to what? You said it was next to the...
It's called the SFA Native Plant Center.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, I don't get down there quite as often as I would like to. But anyway, it sounds terrific. It's 40 years of music from the Music Preparatory Division at SFA. So congratulations to you all. And it sounds like it's going to be a terrific event. And is there anything you want to add in before we shut this down?
Well, no, I just want to add, all of our students are performing. So we have about 120 or 140 students performing throughout the day. So it will be a day filled with music, beautiful music. The youth orchestra is performing in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. Our strings project ensemble is also performing. And so I just would like to invite all of our community. It's free to the public. Come out and enjoy beautiful music. And while you can enjoy food and other activities, it will be quite a wonderful day.
It sounds like it'll be incredible. My guests have been, that most recent voice there, Alba Madrid, who's a fantastic musician in her own right. All of my guests are this morning. It's been fun to talk about this, a great conversation. But Alba Madrid and Mario Ajero and Shirley Waterston, thank you all for being on the air with me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, Kermit.
And if you're with an organization and you have an event coming up you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, give us a call at 800-552-8502.